Hi everyone, this is Marissa Santoro with In Our Shoes, inrshoes.com, and today I am excited to introduce to you someone that I met several years ago who embraced Gutsy Leadership, went through the Gutsy Leadership System, and has a ton of information and really value to share with the village of how she went from point A to point B. Her name is Kia. And she is the director of literacy and development for a global education firm. And I'm so excited to have you meet her. Hi, Kia. You there?
I'm here. Hi, Marissa. Hi, Village.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for getting up early with me. You're one of the clients that I've always enjoyed meeting with in the morning because you're like me. We're very clear on when our brain is at its peak, working in the morning together.
Yes.
Masterminding. Well, Kia, I know I've said this before, but I just want to say again, you have such an incredible story from, I'm going to let you open up the here on the floor of what your story is, but you really, when I met you, you went from, more quiet, mindful, reserved, working for a smaller education practice, and you set an intention. You made it your mission, your mindset mission, I'll just say, because as you know, everything that I teach here is not just based on the doing, but it's on the being and the mindset, which is really 90% of our results in life. And you set your mindset to really expanding your wings, getting over lots of fear. So we'll talk about, maybe you'd like to open up a little bit about fear. And now you're working in that senior level executive role that you imagined and put your mind to, in a global education company. So congratulations. And you didn't take too long to do that. You're welcome. So I'm going to give you the floor here, Kia. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and some of the, the challenges and that you've experienced personally. Let our readers really, our listeners really listen, get a feel for who you are. And where you see the growth is really needed for professionals like us who are more on the quiet, mindful side, but still that has that gutsy edge.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Marissa, for this opportunity. I think I was in a place a few years ago, like so many of us, where you're working and, I love my career path. I've always been in education. I'm passionate about education and learning. But I had gotten stuck. I think at some point when you become comfortable, and it's going okay, it's not, there's certain aspects that, I might need a little tweaking, but for the most part, things are comfortable, so you don't necessarily push or challenge yourself. And I actually had some external pressures that were making me grow. There were some issues that were just happening in the field of education that were happening with a lot of companies in education where it was, the playing field was changing. And so I really had to start to think about what I wanted to do because my quality of life was changing on all levels. There was, a lot more pressure, I was doing a lot of traveling, there was just a lot of uncertainty in the political landscape. Education is very, politically driven, so it really made me start to think of what I needed to do or what did I want to do in that next step. However, things were still not uncomfortable enough for me to dive full in and do, like that full-on search or commit a lot of time to, because it is, you really have to spend a lot of time when you're thinking about what that next step will be in your life. You can't really do it by only spending 30 minutes once a week. You really have to commit and use all of your spare time and energies to really work out what your game plan will be. And I just,
I was too exhausted to do that and too comfortable, I think.
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where my health was starting to suffer. I was having injuries and just feeling run down, and I love to travel in my personal life, but I wasn't able to do the things that I enjoyed because I just felt so consumed by everything that was going on in the workspace, and so something had to give. And that's when we started working together and really thinking about how I can go gutsy, and pushing myself outside of that comfort zone. Being an introvert, I'm happy with being a behind the scenes person and getting the work done. Not as comfortable with being the person in the spotlight. Even though if I have to, I can definitely do it, but I much more prefer to be behind the scenes. But when you are, again, thinking about what do you want that next step to look like, you have to go gutsy and you have to get out into the world, and you need to speak to, you know, your contacts and ask, and you need to put yourself out there and meet, you know, new people and put yourself in different situations and try things that would be a little uncomfortable. And so going through, you know, that the gutsy playbook, as I call it, and really focusing on getting myself mentally in that space where I was really comfortable with being uncomfortable allowed the change to happen. And so, as you mentioned, I went from doing education with a national company, you know, sharing my passion for literacy and learning, to now working for a company that has a global reach. I'm sharing my passion for literacy and learning. And that became possible because of the habit of mine that I cultivated through the Gutsy Leadership work that we did. So thank you so much, because it really forced me to recalibrate and get into the habit of really just being mindful about what it is that I want out of life. I think so often we go on autopilot, or when you get to a certain place and you have the, okay, I have the career check, I have the house that I like check, I have,
right.
You know, you just, it's easy to get stuck or to stay in neutral.
Yeah.
And so the work really helped me think about what does it look like on the next level, and taking in and doing, you know, the visualization and just cultivating habits. You know, what are the 5 things I'm going to do today? And I love how, you know, Jack Canfield talks about having that hour of power. And what am I doing every morning to, like, just getting in that routine of, okay, I get up and I meditate twice a day. So, check, but also making sure that within the hour that I'm exercising for 20 minutes, he does 20-20-20, and I'm reading something that's going to positively motivate me, uplift me, you know, satisfy my sense of curiosity if there's an area that I'm interested in learning more about. So just getting into that routine and that discipline, because I think for many of us, that's where things fall apart. We want change, but in order for the change to happen, we have to be a catalyst for it. And so we have to start developing those habits that will, you know, plant the seeds. I'm always telling my husband, I'm planting seeds, I'm planting seeds.
You know? Yeah, every day, right?
Yeah, some of them will land on fertile ground, and some of them, you know, the ground might be a little frozen, but it'll warm up. And
right.
Some of them, you don't know, it might land. Yes. But, you know, it's just like get up and I have to say, okay, today I have to plant a seed somewhere. I have to, you know.
Right. And you have to be uncomfortable doing it, right? Even if it's freezing cold at, you know, 2 degrees out, we have to plant our seeds and be okay with whatever happens. I think it's that letting go as well, because we don't see instant results when we plant the garden, do we? We plant the seed and we just have to wait and wait and wait. And that's not really, that kind of goes against the grain of our culture. Instant gratification through technology and, you know, texting and all the things that we've kind of been conditioned on the other end of the spectrum versus mindful and letting go and really stepping back and just even, you know, the visualization. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I had just pulled up your visualizations and your affirmations that we did together. And, you know, tears are really coming out of me because, you know, I know that wasn't an easy journey for you in the beginning. But once, it's almost like, you know, once you it clicks in your mind, like, this is who I am. I am all of those things. I am a learning director. I am working for a global company giving value. You know, all of those things eventually do get locked in our brain. And that's why I focus so much on mindset, because it's not really about, you know, saying, oh, I want this role and going on the interviews, because you're, and I know before we met, you had said you had checked out some other companies, you had gone on interviews, but there was also that resignation that kept coming up for you, where you were going through the motion. You might have been aligned with some great opportunities, but you really walked away. You had shared you walked away with some resignation I did it. Yeah, okay, I went through the playbook, but I really didn't believe I can get it, and so. You know, that's what you get back. You get back, you know, nothing in a sense of, you know, zero results. And so I would say, you know, that's really what stood out for me where I saw you holding yourself back, because you were already going into those interviews and you were doing zero networking other than traveling, you know, but that really wasn't true networking in the sense, you know, quality connection, right? And we're going to talk about your little, your injuries. I want to mention that, because this really isn't just about your career, especially with you, Kia. That's why I love your story. It wasn't just that you went from, you know, this smaller company, national level, smaller role, you know, less title for sure, and went to, you know, global company as an executive role as a director. But you also made so many changes in your life. You know, you literally saw, as we were coaching together, and I always say this as a little disclaimer for people, you know, don't be surprised if you start having some breakdowns before the breakthroughs, right? Like, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to break up with your, I had one woman, she was living with someone, and, you know, I hate to say this because I don't want anyone to run away here, but, you know, when you start making a commitment to yourself about the things that you want, well, guess what? If the people in your life, in your work life, your home life, you know, family, friends, if they're not aligned with where your spirit is guided, then they're going to fall off. You know, they're going to resist that, because now all of a sudden you're changing, right? So in order to see change, you have to change. And so you start to see your home shift, you know, the things that you used to be comfortable with and settling for. If you had that broken garage door, or that, you know, messy car, you know. On the retreat I did in Italy, I had one woman who came and she said, I just want to clean my car. I just want to feel organized in my car. Like, I have no room in my trunk. You know, and her whole breakthrough goal was just getting organized with her life in terms of, like, clutter, because clutter is, you know, really, it really does clutter our minds in every way. But you really, I think, and you've said it a few times just now, and I look back and see, well, what are the really main areas Kia stepped into in terms of change, that E plus R equal O formula, events plus response equal outcome. You changed your response to those same events in order to create a wildly different outcome, but just not just in your career. You know, your health improved. You moved. You said you now You mentioned, tell our listeners about even your home and what changes you made in your home as a result.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was looking through the work that we had done together, and I had like the what does your ideal perfect day look like? And I went back and community, just so you know, I did this a few years ago, and I looked at it today, and it's pretty much what I said my ideal day was 2 years ago. I'm living it today. And just where I live, I mean, I had the number of bedrooms, bathrooms, the amount of light. I love nature, so there's like a pond, you know, right off my front door, and a green belt, and lots of a light skylight. But like everything down to the way the space is, it's very roomy and lots of natural light and lots of nature, which I love, down to what my commute is like into work, which was spot on. The time I leave work, I said 4 p.m., that's the time I leave work when I go in the office. I also had in the ideal perfect day. I really love, I'm passionate about working with underserved communities, as well as with you know, people who are you know, power brokers. And I do that. I do both. So you know, sometimes you know, you hear the saying, seeing is believing, you know, like I'll believe it when I see it. But it really is the other way around. When you believe it, you'll see it. And so,
oh, I love that. Love that.
You know, just making sure a big part is really saying is, you know, what do I believe is possible for me? What is it that I'm going to claim and say that, you know, this is what I want for myself, and believing it can happen, and it will happen. And I even, now I don't really put that like a finite timeline on it. Like I don't say I need to have it by a certain point, because I think sometimes that I will personally sabotage it or like that pressure.
Right.
But not having the pressure and just say, okay, I'm planting the seed. I believe this is going to happen, but it will happen when it's supposed to happen, and then kind of just let it go. And some things will happen very rapidly, and some things take a little longer. Like the position, to find the position took a little longer than I would have hoped, but the timing aligned perfectly to other things that were going on. So, I'm okay with that.
Yes, I love how that works.
You know, you just have to believe that it's possible for you. And I think, and I'm especially speaking to the women in the village right now, that that there's certain perception, you know, or expectations, especially depending on what generation you fall in, and also just not falling into what those prescribed roles are, and really just carving out who you are and not listening to what other people might think your role should be based on who you are, you know, whether it's gender, whether it's ethnicity, whether, you know what I mean, whether it's your age, but just really carving out the space that you want for yourself and owning it is really key.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned the ideal day, ideal perfect day exercise, because so for those of you who aren't familiar with that, this is one of the tools I give in the coaching program. And you're really just outlining, you know, you have a series of questions, and I keep you accountable to going deep on what that ideal day looks like from, you know, beginning to end. And, you know, at first it may seem like a one-off exercise where you're just like, oh, yeah, this is a nice wish list. It's really not. You're self-creating the things that you want. You're co-creating, in a sense, with your spirit, the universe, God, you know, whatever, you know, that infinite intelligence is called for you. You know, and you're literally, you know, imagining writing down on paper, because writing exponentially, and that could be typing as well. It doesn't have to be pen and pencil anymore, but you're really, you know, exponentially co-creating what you want. And it's not really just a wish list. And the other thing that you mentioned, Kia, which I want to drill down on a little bit, because I know that there are a lot of people in the Gutsy community that, you know, will do consider themselves, like you, you know, professionals who have the experience, the skills, the education, but they do sort of consider themselves a bit on the introversion scale. It doesn't mean they won't speak up for themselves. It just means that, you know, and it doesn't mean they're shy. You know, they're somewhere on the introversion scale. And I've always said this. I say this in my talks. I say this on my calls, my webinars. You know, coming from Wall Street as an IT executive and moving into a brand new leadership and training space, you know, lots of face time in those two areas for me personally. Mm-hmm. But I always considered myself an extroverted introvert. And so mm-hmm. it's no surprise that I hear this from people, because like attracts like, right? So yes. You mentioned, right? Yeah, it's really crazy. And we look at, you know, women or men that, you know, can get up on a panel or stage or even run a meeting, a boardroom, and we say, wow, you know, they really got it together. They must be really extroverted. They must be, you know, groomed to do the speaking. But, you know, you'd be surprised. You know, so many people at so many levels. I work with managing directors that on paper, on the surface, you'd say, wow, you know, they're really confident and great communication, and you're extremely articulate, right? So mm-hmm. you hit on some keywords that I think really describe so many of us. You said, you know what, I'm really a behind the scenes person. I don't seek the spotlight. I'm not mm-hmm. the person that will work a networking event or room to find contact. So if we just take those main, descriptors, what would you say you did to get comfortable being uncomfortable being that person? Because you are what you are, right? So what would you say some things that you changed about yourself? And I'm not even sure it ever goes away. I mean, I don't know any speaker today, you know, really, you know, even Tony Robbins and Richard Branson have gone on interviews and said, you know, right before I get on, I'm still a little nervous. I have to rehearse a lot. So it's not like it ever goes away, but we still have to kind of conquer it in a way in that moment. And then we can always retreat. Can you expand a little bit on what you feel worked for you going from that introversion type person to getting yourself out there?
Yeah. So I just am a person who, I just need my quiet and my downtime. I just need one of my childhood friends, she's very much the extrovert, and she needs constant stimulation from people, where I am the opposite, right? Knowing that a lot of, like, if I have to spend a lot of time in front of people, speaking, networking, then for me it's really important that I carve out and I structure my day so either before that or after that there's downtime so I can recharge. Because for me, whereas for my best friend, being in front of people is energizing, for me it's draining. Not that I can't do it, but it drains my battery.
Stimulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That way as well. Yeah.
Yes. So I make sure that I, you know, just carve out that time for myself, whether it's, you know, before or after. The meditation also helps, because that's my, you know, that's quiet time for me. But I do love, and I think this is where sometimes there's a misconception about introverts, even though we might, because we can find, we can be okay with being by ourselves and quiet time, and that actually recharges us. It doesn't mean that we can't do all the things, like, you know, the big events and speaking and networking. Mm. It's just being strategic in how we do it. Mm. I love to speak in front of people about the things that I am passionate about, so education and literacy and learning and how we're transforming education. That is something I'm passionate about, and I can speak about for hours and hours and hours. And hours.
Mm. Isn't that interesting? So that, I love that. And I forgot to mention that. I apologize. You are a speaker. You started out, you know, in the field. You were always speaking, traveling with speaking, right? So it's not like you were sitting behind a desk at all in your career.
Right. No, so I've always, you know, I've thrown events. I've led sessions. Going to conferences, but I just make sure that I buffer that time for me before and after, so that my battery is charged during the event, because you know,
right.
Because I know I have to be on. And look, to be honest, as the world we live in now, it is very much driven by social media And so even if you are shy or you really don't like the spotlight, you have to step in it and
right.
own it. Doesn't mean you need to stay there all day, but you have to feel comfortable enough to get out. And we were having this conversation about, you know, just making sure our LinkedIn pages and Twitter and Facebook,
yeah.
and, you know, updating that information for work, because everyone has something valuable to share, and
right.
you just have to find the way to do it that works for you. When I go to events, I really try to find a few people, I say three minimum, to make a really deep connection with, not just the, hi, how are you, I do, but to find somebody, gravitate towards someone who you really they're doing something you're really fascinated in. You have something in common, but then to make that deeper connection is really helpful. I'd rather walk away with three deep connections than 10 superficial ones. So,
right.
And I find that works for me. So I think it's just, As you reflect, introverts, there is power in being an introvert, and it's learning how to harness your power and make it work for you.
It's not either or, right?
No, it's not. You definitely, and I think everybody, when they know what they're passionate about, can step into the spotlight to speak about their passion.
Right. And that's really why I focus so much on energy and mindset and passion, because, you know, if you're talking about something, even if you're nervous, you know, let's say you're doing a presentation or you're about to go on an interview, you know, it's a conversation that you're having with, you know, who the audience is or the other person on the other side of the table. It's a conversation. And when you are nervous, and you have a little bit of anxiety, the best way to release that is really to just talk about what you know well and what you really enjoy doing, because that's passion that people can feel. And
yeah.
It's not even about your words so much. You know, we get so focused, especially women. I know we have lots of men in our Gutsy community now, but, you know, for the women out there, you know, as women, we tend to focus on, you know, what I like to call perfection paralysis of getting everything right,
yeah.
especially if we have, right, if we have a deadline or a presentation due on Monday to our senior leaders or whatever that might be. You know, we have to get everything right, when in reality is, you know, you can have, you know, not necessarily have it all figured out, but if you go to the table and you just, you know, let go and talk about the story, the before and after, because everything's a story.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about the strategy of storytelling, which is
yes.
so key to being a successful leader in life, not just about business. And bring your passion to it, you know, and let go of the script. And that's really key, right?
Yes.
Just letting go of the script.
That is key. And I find that you are where you are because everybody in the room believes that you have something of value to share. And for us, it's to own our value and to be authentic. Like, stop just, like, I'm at a point, just, I tell everybody, just be you. Like, stop trying to be like whoever you think you need to be like. Just be yourself, because you have a set of experiences and a view that's a value add to the room. That's why you're there. And, you know, when I think about, I laugh when you were talking about, you know, being nervous and speaking in front of people. And I remember, you know, there are two things that it might sound silly, but you have to do what works for you. If it's a really large group, I'm comfortable speaking in front of, you know, pretty sizable groups. But when you start to talk about, you know, 400 people in a room plus 500 people in a room, then it's like, okay, right? Because it feels hard to make a personal connection. But I will go into the restroom and do my, like, Wonder Woman stand before, you know, or put the superhero stand with, you know, your hands above your head or on your hips and, you know, just be confident. And then when you're in the room, always find somebody in the room to connect with. And I was very
making eye contact.
Yes, I had a supervisor who was just a pioneer woman in sales. Really, she was a trailblazer executive, and I had this big event where I was speaking to like 500 people, and she was like, "I'm going to stand in the back of the room, and you look at me,
so you could focus on her."
You know, and I could focus on her. Well, you know, and what was nice is I only needed to do that for a second because I got it, right? It's how to find someone in the room, right, to just speak to. Like, it's just the two of you having that conversation. And it will flow. So, everybody has tricks, even the people who, you know, make, you know, millions and millions of dollars off of speaking. They have their little secrets and tricks that help them get through it. I think, like anything, it becomes a craft and it's something that you have to practice. I've been speaking in front of groups for many years now, so it's much more natural and fluid. You know, now I think about, for me, where's that next? Now I'm practicing, how am I having conversations on social media, right?
Right.
Like, that's
right.
An area that, and the more you do it, the easier it will become. So it's getting in that habit of doing it.
Yeah, so you just took the words out. You said early on, the biggest growth for you was due to cultivating new habits. And that's really true. If you don't know, if you don't, you know, consistently work that muscle of whatever it is you want to, you know, start trying, then you won't get there. And so you have to be a little bit uncomfortable. It's going to hurt. I always say, so it's always going to hurt. But it's going to hurt. But it's going to really become more natural, where it becomes your new normal. And the beauty of that is that when we sort of shift into that other place of feeling more comfortable, maybe not 100%, but a little bit more, the beauty of this work is that you really can't go back to where you were, even if you wanted to. You really can't retreat, because your spirit, your inner gutsy guidance system will not allow you. You've grown. And that's what we're, you know, our planet is growing. You know, the universe is evolving. And so must we. And so, you know, it's like no looking back, and that's okay. And that also includes the people and the circumstances around you that will also, you know, possibly not come along with the ride, for the ride with you while you're going through that growth phase.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
You know, it is okay. You have to grow, you have to evolve, and people are, I look at everyone now like, they're on their own journey. They're on their own path. You know that there are people who, you know, who are ahead of you on the journey, who are, you know, you seek it, they give you advice, right? There. And then you have your contemporaries who are on the journey with you, and then the people who are not as far along, you can guide them. So, but just realizing that everyone's in a different place, and you don't always, You know, it's okay if you have to leave someone behind. They'll eventually, hopefully, you know, on their journey, they'll make progress, but we have to continue to grow and evolve. Because if we're not growing and evolving, what happens? I mean, eventually you're going to perish, right? I mean, things are just, everything is going to pass you by and you're going to be stuck. So it's really important to continue to grow and do something. I now try to find something every day to push me outside of my comfort zone.
How are you going Dusty Daily?
and it's funny, and it could be something as small as, okay, our offices are in Manhattan. Going someplace totally different that I've never been to pick up lunch, you know?
Right.
Because how often do we fall in the same routine of I go to the same place or the same two places and I get the same thing? No, so it could be as small as trying a new dish or a new restaurant. It could be as bold as, oh my goodness, I saw a board position. I'm going to nominate myself for that. Just out of whoa. Just,
oh, I saw that.
And we'll see what happens. And another part of it is you're going through the steps, and you think about, like I said, the ask. When you ask, you become okay when people say no or not right now or maybe right, and then how you can convert that into, if it's not a right now, how do we keep that conversation going? But you don't take the no as personal.
Right.
And then you continue to ask.
Right.
And that's how you
get. You just keep asking. For those of you who are listening, so Kay is referring to ask is one of the elements, components of the Gusty playbook, Gusty leadership playbook, where, you know, if you know me or if you've even coached with me once, you'll know that, you know, you cannot tell me that Marissa, I'm not able to ask for this, or I can't ask that. Well, the truth is that if you look at the law of probability, you know, the more people you ask and the more things that you ask for, the likelihood that you're going to receive it. It's just a numbers game. And when you look at life almost as a numbers game, you become so detached. It's almost like your Teflon. It is like your Teflon. You're so detached. You know, I ask 9 people and, you know, 9 no's, that's fine. Until you get that 10th yes. And so that's also working that muscle, like we talked about, being comfortable, getting uncomfortable is having that intention, you know, asking and then letting go, what I like to call high intention and low attachment. High intention, low attachment. And so that letting go piece is really where we get caught, isn't it? Because we are like, but then you notice, you know, when you actually let go, you know, that's when, you know, abundance really, really does happen.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like, you know, for people when the job search, you know, and you're looking 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 and you're focusing, you're focusing, you're focused, and then you get a job and then everybody starts looking for you. Because you're not, you know, it's that whole, you're not focused on it. You've let go. You're okay with, you know,
whatever happens.
So
yeah.
Whatever happens. And that's, you know, part of my, you know, that's why I say I'm planting seeds, because I'm not really attached to when and where and how they sprout, you know?
Right. It's in time.
I planted and dropped it. Yeah. And it'll happen. And you walk away. And,
And it's really, I also like to, sort of compare that to when you go to a restaurant, because you mentioned, you know, going to lunch and choosing a new location. So you go to a restaurant, you know, order your meal, from the waiter or waitress, and then we just sit and we fully expect our meal to be delivered. There's never any doubt, right? We just sort of sit there. But with that analogy, we also can't eat our breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time. And sometimes we want our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, we want to just go on and place our online order, and we expect everything to happen. But in reality, And I think that's sort of what you were referring to before when you realized, okay, I needed to get this particular role now, not earlier. It's because, you know, everything is really timed just right for us. And even though we want everything right now, it's not really what we need. It's maybe what we want, but it's not what we need. And so everything sort of has to be spaced out in time. Not that you can't ask for it, but you don't have to have your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In fact, if you get the breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time, what happens? We fall into overwhelm, right, and stress and anxiety. We're like, our heads are spinning, and then we realize, what did I create here? So, so that's all really part of that mindset and being clear on what we really want.
There's a divine order for everything. You know, there's this divine order, and there are things that are happening that we can't necessarily privy to, right? Until the timing is right. And so when I look back on all the events that have happened, just even within the last, you know, year and job shift, and, you know, everything has been positive and has worked out better than expected, but there were other moving pieces where I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that, but that's why.
Yeah, right.
Just perfect timing. So you also have to trust that everything will happen in its appointed time.
Exactly. Yeah. And being really, really okay with that. I mentioned earlier, I just want to sort of bring this up because I also on the front of your growth and on networking, you had said, meet three quality people, deep dive into that, and be okay with not passing on business cards. I do remember when we were just working on you getting out there and getting that FaceTime, you all of a sudden had a foot injury, and it sort of forced you to start talking to strangers. And I just want to mention that because I was just like, you're saying to me, oh, my God, Marissa, I just had this foot injury. I'm trying to keep it together. And I'm not laughing, but I'm just smiling because I know that you were in a growth period, and this is what the universe gave you to get yourself out there, you know, but in line with what you were doing, right? You had to travel with a foot injury. So, this was all divinely timed, as you say.
Yeah. I always laugh. You know, it's like, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you ask for.
Right.
Because the universe has a sense of humor, and it will happen.
It does.
in ways that you don't expect. But I was on a business trip and ended up with a foot injury. Like, I woke up and my foot, I could barely walk, and I made it through the presentation that day and ended up, you know, getting it taken care of, but I had to travel with a cane, and, you know, I had some mobility issues for a while, so I was pushed around the airport, and I couldn't wear, regular shoes, so I got these, like, really sparkly, jazzy
sneakers.
gutsy sneakers with lots of sparkle. But it was interesting because I needed help getting around the airport and had to be pushed, and, you know, I was always got to board, and you never realize how many people have injuries until you have one, you know, but board the airplane first. But it led to a lot of conversation with other business travelers, and I, again, needing my downtime, I would always say hi or whatever to the person, my seatmate, but I wouldn't engage in long conversations. Well, with the injury, everybody wanted to know, well, what happened to you? And some people were really funny and said, oh, you have to come up with a really amazing story. You can't just say you injured your foot, you know, aggravated an old injury, hiking. Yeah, like, were you hang gliding? And like, I had to come up with some story. But it was amazing because it gave me that opportunity, and I met some really awesome people, business travelers, through the injury. But it really made me have these conversations and get comfortable with sharing, you know, just sharing with strangers and you know what, it's not too bad to talk to your seatmate, especially because a lot of them are very interesting.
Yeah.
But I laughed because it really did warm me to the idea of having those conversations with strangers. And so now, when I travel, it is not unusual for me to find something, you know, to chat about with a seatmate on the plane, or even to sit, I do a lot of traveling by myself, to go to the bar at the hotel and just strike up a conversation with someone. So I am much more comfortable with those, having those types of interactions than I would have been before, because I'm the person who was very happy to sit on the plane and read my book and not talk to anyone. But you could be missing some really great opportunities. So I am thankful for that lesson, because it was an important lesson, and it helped me really become more comfortable with having those conversations.
And nothing is really random, is it? Nothing is random.
No, it's not.
Self-created, right?
I was like, yeah, I asked for it. I probably wasn't being as social as I said I was going to be, so the universe said, aha, we'll make you talk to people when you travel. And we'll make you ask for things when you travel, you know, because I had to ask for help when the injury occurred. So, yeah, that ask, and the networking kind of linked up very nicely for me.
And you met some great contacts.
Yeah, I met some really great people, and continue to meet awesome people, because, you know, now I'm open. I am open to having
open
those types of interactions.
Yeah, and open is so key. It's really just, what does open signify? It's being open to possibility, open to outcomes, not attached to exactly how you want things to work out, right? Just be stating what you want, but letting it, you know, sort of letting it unfold as you need. And I do want to mention something that you mentioned, you know, sitting in a bar and might striking up a conversation with someone, or in the airport, or even in the plane, you know, or in a conference. As a reminder, if you're attending anything or going into a new room or new space, who you end up talking to is directly aligned to where your thoughts are and what you're focused on. And I can tell you, like, the classic example of this, if you don't believe that, is if you're driving to work, or you're in traffic and you're bumping, or you're being bumped around by someone in the subway, New York City subway, that doesn't happen, right? Or if someone actually pushes you out of the way on the street, you know, and it really sets you back. You woke up on a good note and it really, really sets you back. But then you think about, where were my thoughts? You know, where was I focused? And, you know, for myself at least, when I became more aware of, you know, that grouchy person on the grocery line who pushed me out of the way, or whatever. I recently shared in the newsletter, someone just started honking at me incessantly because I didn't press the gas pedal fast enough when the light turned green. And I was just like, wow, you know, what's going on? But my, you know, so it's just really a reminder, when those events happen, you know, recognize that in some way, shape, or form, we have created them. We have, you know, sort of manifested them. And just take a little mental note. You know, it's a little gutsy pause, I guess you might say. Where are my thoughts strayed to? What was I just focused on? And if your thoughts were what you feel on a positive note, and you really don't think you created that, then just sort of lean into where your emotions are. Were you feeling good? Were you on a high vibrational scale? Were you on a low scale? Just sort of take a little mini self-assessment so that you can recalibrate. I love that you said that. You can just sort of recalibrate. Mm-hmm. It takes 17 seconds, is what they say, for you to sort of shift your points of focus and your emotional set point, if you will, on where you are to a new level of emotional frequency. So if you're feeling a little resigned or a little, you know, just a little negative more than usual, sometimes being tired does that, then just sort of, you know, make that self-assessment and then just find one little thing, you know, something, anyone, give someone a compliment, you know, get, buy yourself a flower on the street. I remember lots of times when I was on Wall Street, you know, under so much stress, under deadlines, and I'd go downstairs, there was a flower sign by myself, you know, a single flower, put it in a vase. Everyone thought I was crazy. What are you doing? There's nothing going to grow in this environment. I didn't even have a window at the time. But that little act of celebrating myself or, you know, just sort of changing my emotional set point was all I needed to sort of get through the day. And I know that for all of you listening, you know what that is. You know what your set points are. You know your triggers. You know the things and the people that kind of press those buttons. And my message really to you is, before we close here, is that you have the power within you to change whatever reality that you want. You can do it on a small scale, and you can do it on a large scale. But those, it's those tiny little changes, as Kia said, you know, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable throughout the day. It has to be consistent. It has to be, you know, disciplined action, habit forming. And those those tiny, tiny mindset shifts that you're making and little acts of gutsy moves, they all build up into something that does become the breakthrough that you're asking for. And how quick you get there is really driven by how ready you are and how aligned you are. And sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes, you know, it goes really quick and then we're in overwhelm. But it does happen. And it's all about being aligned to that and fully expecting to receive the things that you want. And and so
and believing so, you deserve, like, you deserve it. Like, that's the I think
believing
you have to really believe that you deserve it and that, you know, you need to claim it and own it. That it's,
and
that
as
it's
you know,
yours.
Yes, that's when it soars. And as you know, my favorite mantra, I put it, I try to, you know, remember to put at the end of the newsletter, I deserve happiness and success. If it's not pasted at, you know, somewhere in your home by the mirror, you know, I deserve happiness and success. And for some days, you know, for most people that I start working with, I ask them to repeat that 3 or 4 times on the phone. And the first couple times they're like, what? I say, how do you feel? And they're like a little uncomfortable. They're comfortable saying, I deserve happiness and success. Going back to that, you know, asking for permission, Jean, and really allowing ourselves to ask for the things that we want. Ask, ask, ask. So if you're not asking the right question of yourself, then how can you expect to receive it, right? How can you expect to receive happiness and success if you're not already making that affirmation of, yes, today I deserve happiness and success. And today, you know, every single day. And it doesn't have to be your specific mantra, whatever that means for you. Maybe you grew up with a little, you know, your parents told you something that was encouraging and you sort of never imbibed it. And so now you could turn that, you know, a little rhyme that you remembered as a child. You know, the more rhymey, actually, the more rhymey you make your affirmations and your mantras, the easier it is. And you actually become, you know, you can make a little tune out of it, you know, if you want. So,
yeah, they're so important. I agree. I everyone in the village have a mantra or affirmation.
Have a mantra.
Yeah, just have something that you can fall back on, especially when things get crazy. You know, something where you can just stop and take a deep breath and say to yourself a few times that will get you back on the path. Because we all, you know, we all stumble. So again, it's the more you cultivate that mindset, the easier it is to get back on the path and not let things distract you.
I love that. And we are always on the path, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are.
We're always on the path. Doesn't always seem that way, but you are always on the path. I love that.
And
with
as
that,
we're closing, I'm going to say, I deserve happiness and success.
Love that. And I'm gonna go
and everyone
you.
Should say it.
Yes, I love it. You have to have a mantra and you have to have a word, right? Whatever your word is. I remember when I was working in corporate, I had been juggling my side hustle and still working full time. And my word at the time was freedom. And I kid you not, I wish I could make this up. One of my first corporate training engagements that I did was facing the Statue of Liberty. Through the window, and it was in downtown Manhattan, and I looked out the window, and that was my word, freedom, and I couldn't think of a better image of what I was aligned to at the time for freedom than the Statue of Liberty. So I was really, awesome. You create your reality, your thoughts are things. And the more you lean into that and recognize that you have the power to create whatever you want, the more things, good things happen to you. So with that, I want to close here and really thank you, Kia, for giving your time, and just sharing so many powerful nuggets here with the community. I know that there are so many people, in many different areas of the world that, are listening to this and saying, you know what, I'm not alone. There is someone that's in my shoes, in our shoes, and there's always someone in your shoes. But sometimes mm-hmm. we just need to hear it. We just need to hear these stories, and we need to understand that we aren't alone, and that our stories, are really all intertwined, and so we sort of find our own path, but we all are connected in that way.
Yes. So thank you so much, Marissa, for the opportunity. And I will say,
you're welcome.
Ask Village is. Marissa knows how to get in touch with me. I am always open to having quick conversations because, again, we are all on this journey together. And if you ever need anything, just ask.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, if you would like to get in touch with Kia, just shoot me an email at Marissa, M-A-R-I-S-A, at inrshoes.com, inrshoes.com. And I will be happy to put you in touch with Kia. Hopefully you won't get overloaded with too many emails, Kia, but we'll leave it at that and see where it goes. You might have to have a separate email account for you.
No. Look, I enjoy that. That's one of my, now I am always open. If someone needs 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever they need,
Thank you. You never know when you might
need it, so.
Right. It's all about giving back and paying it forward. Yeah. We are, at the end of the day, gutsy soldiers, which, in service, always in service.
Yes.
Thank you. Big hug,
Kia. Thank you so much. Yes.
You're welcome. And everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and reach out if you have any questions. All right? Okay, everyone. Bye now.
Bye-bye.